My people are in the chaos of pain. My people are in the chaos of the guilt conscience of having done the genocide. My people are in jail. My people are the survivors of the genocide, groaning for the loss of their beloved ones. That very chaos is where God wants me to begin, because I can't begin with from the perfection. I believe from the imperfection. I address the imperfection. That's where God speaks into.
Mid-South Viewpoint, a Christian news and information feature of Bot Radio Network 640 AM, discussing the news, views, issues, and concerns that affect our community. Join us now for today's edition of Mid-South Viewpoint.
Hi, friend, and welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler. The last time we got together, we had the opportunity to visit with Bishop John Ruchahana. Bishop John is from Rwanda and shared his story of going into exile after the horrible massacre that took place. In the words of Bishop John, of course, in his book that he has written called The Bishop of Rwanda, Finding Forgiveness Amidst a Pile of Bones, the book written back in 2007, he says that at least 1,117,000 innocent people were massacred in a horrible genocide in Rwanda, my homeland in Central Africa. He says, we are still finding bodies buried in pits, dumped in rivers, chopped in pieces. Is that still taking place even today as we speak, Bishop John?
I have read on the news, in one part of the country, they discovered 960 remains. And just this year, only this month, that have been in the United States. And I read it in the newspaper.
Let's welcome you back to a second part of our program. Thank you for having time to share with our Bot Radio Network friends about your life, your story. You are ministering there in Rwanda because God allowed you after 38 years of being in exile. You told me that it was very difficult because it's like everything was taken away from you, your dignity, your passion or drive to be able to succeed, because you were told what to do and when to do it in a refugee camp.
Well, you are left there to languish. Basically, you are in a camp and you can't resume your ambitions as a young man in school. You can't even do what you want to do. I wish they even told you what to do in a positive way, that you're earn a living from what they tell you to do. It's up to you to struggle to survive it day after day.
So you weren't even treated like a human being in a refugee camp?
Certainly not, because a human being is provided for, at least given a feel that he has value. And in a refugee camp, you are just thrown in a place. There are no houses. Then you have to get to cut trees or poles or make something like a shed on your own. There was no provision.
Bishop, you have returned to your homeland to what you have said to offer reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Talk about that.
Well, I believe very strongly that we were, as a nation, dropped into a pit and crushed to the bottom of the pit. And we have no more depths to go into, to dig into. We got to the floor of the pit. It's up to us, therefore, to cry upon the Lord and take responsibility of our evil actions and seek to be reconciled to each other and hold hands and get out of the pit. And we can't do it on our own, and we have to appeal to the Lord. And in order to make it, we have to forgive each other, and we have to take responsibility, ask forgiveness, and forgive each other in order to become a people again. Because nobody else will do it for us.
Bishop John, on our last program, you told us about your desire to help your people to start over again. How do you start something out of total chaos?
Well, I think when you are in chaos like ours, you start from that very chaos. Because what you have is chaos. But in the chaos, you have to have a vision to get out of the chaos. Within the chaos, that's where you take the message. You see, when you are in a chaos, you can't begin by a clean floor. You can't begin by a clean place. You begin the message into that very chaos, because that's where my people are. My people are in the chaos of pain. My people are in the chaos of the guilt conscience of having done the genocide. My people are in jail. My people are the survivors of the genocide, groaning for the loss of their beloved ones. That very chaos is where God wants me to begin, because I can't begin with from the perfection. I believe from the imperfection. I address the imperfection. That's where God speaks into.
On our last program, you mentioned that the church at the time of all the genocide and all of the horrible things that were happening was being controlled by the government, so it did not have any power or influence to make any changes. Where is the church today? How is it making a difference? What impact is it having to see people come to reconciliation?
I think the impact of the church today, the impact comes from repentance. The impact of the church comes from honesty and from the reality that the church realizes that its shortcomings and realizes that it failed its prophetic message at the time. That's where the power of the church is today. It's not claiming the holiness of the church which failed the people in 1962, 1959, or the process through, or the history that led to the genocide. The church, the strength of the church is best in Christ Jesus and in honesty and the admission that there was a failure somewhere. That's where the revival of the church is best.
Bishop, I heard that you said at one meeting recently that one of the things that needed to be prayed, the people of Rwanda would not forget what took place, that you actually said there are some people who are acting like what happened, all this over 1 million people that were massacred in a brutal way, didn't even happen, even though they lived through it.
I don't know that anybody in good senses and anybody who believes in God and believes in the truth can say that there was no genocide when we still have the bones and the widows and the orphans and the facts that demonstrate the loss and the genocide. Nobody can say there was no genocide. Even the UN failed to argue against it. Because, you know, in the UN meetings, they tried to find another name for it. They failed. It became the genocide because that's what it is. So maybe those who are saying that there is no genocide are those who are on the run at large, who are trying to cover up and are in denial. But the reality is that if thousands of prisoners in jail who have come to into repentance and seeking God's forgiveness on our prison fellowship programs tell us and tell the story of how they were trained to do it and how they were engaged to execute the genocide in Rwanda today, how can those people say that there was no genocide?
Well, there are those also, Bishop, who would say that the Holocaust never took place too.
Exactly. And I have actually been in a memorial in Chicago. It is written that some people are denying that there was no Holocaust after the loss of 6 million Jews who perished in the Holocaust.
Well, we interviewed a dear lady who lives just around the corner from our radio station here, Nina Katz, and she has the tattoo on her arm in a concentration camp, so she experienced it. She shared her story. You can't deny what she experienced. Bishop, what message are you offering? You talk about the orphans and the widows that are there now in the aftermath, and as you try to share and try to help encourage, what is the message that you're offering these widows and orphans?
Well, I think the message I'm giving to the widows and the orphans, and you're aware that I have a school called Sunrise School. I have now 1,000 students in the school, and 600 of them are orphans. My message to them is that it's true that we have lost our beloved ones, and you have the scars of the machetes on your bodies, but we cannot invest in the pain of the past. We need to invest and put our weight and our engagement into the future. We need to engage our hope. That's the message I am telling them, and that our hope be in Jesus Christ for the revival, performance, transformation, and production. We need to make sure that we live to the best of our abilities by the help of God.
So you're trying to create a generation of new leadership.
Basically, that's what God is engaging me for. We need to create servant leaders who have recovered from the loss and the pain and the trauma and are engaging into confidence and the leadership.
And how are you doing this, Bishop?
I'm giving my school the best education. I'm giving my school the character formation, which will command respect in the near future and command transformation for our nation. those people in America, and that's why I visited the school, are proving and have known, have seen, and the whole nation knows these kids are leaders.
So basically, God has given you the challenge and opportunity to build a new nation.
This is what we want to do, and this is what we are committed to, and this is why we are working with the Bridge to Rwanda to build a university, because the high school is not enough to arm them with the tools to become leaders. We want to develop them and build this university, get them through, arm them, and then get them out into the marketplace, not only to seek jobs, but to create jobs and be leaders in the community at all levels.
You mentioned this ministry called Bridge to Rwanda that is based here in the United States, partnering with you and your homeland there to build this university. What does it mean for you to have American believers, followers of Jesus Christ, to stand with you, to pray with you, to financially support work like you're doing through a ministry like Bridge to Rwanda?
Well, I think it's not only Bridge to Rwanda. As you know, we are working with the Mustard Seed Project, sponsoring our students. We have the Leadership Foundation trying to help us develop the best and the biggest computer for ICT training. We really want to get the Americans be part and parcel of what God is doing in Rwanda. And Rwanda has a term called broad talent. We want not only to use the Americans to become partners in providing finances, but we want their love to come and be part of who we are and teach us to do it. It's not an issue of giving a kind of handout, a kind of check, but it's coming to be with us and lead us through the learning and make us do it for ourselves, do it our way and in our context for the regaining of our dignity.
Bishop John, I know that the AIDS issue is very tragic in many nations there in Africa. Can you give us a report on what the situation of AIDS and how it's affecting those in Rwanda?
Well, AIDS is a reality in Rwanda as it is in Africa. And possibly I need to know that most of the women who were raped during the genocide as part of inflicting pain on them were infected with HIV in the process of raping them. So that increases even the population of the HIV cases in the country. But you also may need to know that HIV being that bad, but we also have a high rate of people, a death rate of people who are dying of malaria from waterborne diseases. So actually, we lose more people to malaria and waterborne diseases than we lose for HIV/AIDS.
Now, your church is there in the northern province of Rwanda, is that correct?
Yes, my church is in northern province of Rwanda.
And how many parishioners do you minister to?
Well, we have 150,000 people in the north and west, and I have divided my diocese into two because we have grown significantly. The divide was to take care of the momentum of growth. We didn't want to have stagnation, so that's how big God had grown us.
In what ways, Bishop John, do you use God's word to encourage, to strengthen, and to be a peace for your people?
Well, to be honest with you, we take the word of God for what it is. We don't dilute the word of God and tell people what would possibly tickle their ears, but we tell them what the word of God claims to be for them, for their transformation, for their surrender to God, and the repentance and transformation.
What positive changes are you really thankful to God for?
Well, you see, in Rwanda, to be able to summarize your question, in a nutshell, at a country level, the World Bank has ranked us the least corrupt in Africa. The World Bank has ranked us the safest in Africa. We are the cleanest in Africa. The World Bank, 3 weeks ago, if not a month ago, has ranked Rwanda having had the highest leap of development in how to do business from the 143rd to the 67th in how to do business and availing atmosphere for development and growth. So we have been, ever since independence in 1962, getting 100% of the national budget from France and Belgium. Today, we don't have that money from them, but our country, poor as it is from the genocide, only 15 years from the genocide, our country is able to raise 55% of its national budget from its own resources and taxes. So generally, that's what it tells you the nation is becoming too. And to us, that is a miracle. And that comes from the bits of contributions from all over, from churches, from youth, from farmers, from business, from every sector of life that is coming into recovery to demonstrate what the World Bank is saying about Rwanda.
What is your relationship to the government now? How is the government accepting you? How are you working together to make Rwanda a better place?
Well, I think now the government doesn't have any church as the state church today, but I think our government has realized that we are partners because we are having schools, we're having hospitals, we're having social services. We are in businesses of any kind of some sort to serve the community. Therefore, the government is seeing us as partners and contributors as civil society to the well-being of the society. So the government doesn't dictate on us, doesn't own us, but the government sees us as the part of the civil society contributing to the well-being of the nation.
Many of our friends, Bishop, will be familiar with the Ministry of Prison Fellowship. Chuck Colson, of course, started that ministry many years ago. He's a friend of ours here at Bot Radio Network. I understand that you are the current chairman of the board of Prison Fellowship there in Rwanda.
Yes, I am the chairman of Prison Fellowship Rwanda, and I'm on the team of evangelists in the prisons. And I am also on the board of trustees of Prison Fellowship International. And I was the 99 nominee and recipient of the Wilberforce Award by Prison Fellowship.
Well, that's a great honor. Congratulations on that for your work and dedication.
Thank you.
Now, also, I want you to comment, if you would, Bishop John. You know, there is a new Christian faith community that's known as the Anglican Mission in America. It's supported by both the Episcopal Church of Rwanda and the Episcopal Church of Southeast Asia. We have a fellowship here in Memphis, a Faith Anglican Church with Pastor Herb Hand.
Mm.
Herb has been on our program before. We've shared in the past. Talk about that relationship. What does it mean to you to see this Anglican mission being connected with you there in Rwanda?
Well, thank you for asking. Maybe you need to know that actually I'm responsible for starting that. I started with the Anglican Mission in America with one single church, which became a seed for Anglican Mission in America because of the reality that our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ were under a bogging weight of persecution and restriction, not being what they want to become in Jesus Christ because of liberal attitude and some of denial of the divinity of Jesus Christ, of which became the conflict. Not social issues, as some people call it, then I felt that God was calling me to help them out of that tyrannic oppression because people abandoned us in the genocide. I didn't want to abandon my brethren into that kind of oppression when they needed help. So after a few years, we developed many more churches which wanted to that same help, until we found it necessary to give them bishops and consecrated John Rogers and Chuck Murphy, and then consecrated another four bishops in Denver. Now we have grown to what we are.
Now, how many churches are associated with you here in the U.S. now?
Well, we have over 160 parishes associated with Rwanda, and I'm sure there are many more plants that have not yet matured to being parishes or being churches.
So it was those essential doctrines of the faith, the deity of Jesus Christ, knowing that the Word of God is the very out-breath of God, that you were not willing to compromise.
And I will not compromise that as long as I live, since the belief into that is that which led to my transformation, and that's what I stand for as a minister.
How can our listeners best support, pray for you? What would you like to see happen in your relationship with believers here in the United States?
Well, the believers in the United States can help me in various ways. One is to pray for my nation, pray for my ministries, and also be able to support the work we are engaging of building the university, Mahabura University, for the promotion of our education and transformation and the creation of servant leadership in the country, well-educated, with a reformed character for a purpose, and also continue to, others can sign on to support the Sunrise School, which continues to need support and be able to embrace all this reconciliation and engagement and be able to make it happen with us. The church cannot continue to look on. They need to be ambassadors of Christ and get out on the streets like Jesus and give opportunity for people to be transformed.
Bishop, talk about the university, your dream and plan for this. What type of programs will this institution provide for the new leadership of Rwanda?
Well, we want actually to train our students in the Mahabura University in construction sciences, that is civil engineering, architectural, landscaping, electrical engineering, and plumbing, and the related subjects. We want to have IT, ICT, and we want to have computer engineering, computer sciences. We want to have finance. We want to have banking and accounts. And we want to have hospitality. We want to engage the needs of the country to sustain the economy and really to develop the wisdom that encourage talented entrepreneurs to perform better like any other global business people.
So it sounds like there might be some extensive damage to your current infrastructure because of the past war, and you need to create new leadership, new educational opportunities so that your own people can rebuild Rwanda.
You bet. Without training the manpower to do it for themselves, then we cannot afford to continue to create a dependency to the world, and we cannot continue to really put in place a system that will perpetuate handout and really do away with our dignity and the recreation of confidence in a nation.
What challenge would you give to our listeners today, Bishop John, after hearing your story? What is the central message that you want to be received by our listeners today?
Oh, I would pray that my listeners and those who possibly can listen to me is that they need it really to everybody, every single one, young and adult, possibly find a way to step out of the comfort zone, get out there and join Jesus to make a difference. Two, I would possibly challenge and request people to consider if Rwanda can reconcile herself to what happened and be able to try to make a nation again. Certainly the people in America and where elsewhere in the world can reconcile to what offended them.
Now, Bishop, if somebody wanted to contact you to learn more about your ministry and the work in Rwanda, is there a website? Is there a way they can find out more about your ministry?
Yes. Opportunity for people to contact me and get to know the ministries that I'm related to. One is that you can get to the website of Bridge to Rwanda, which is bridge2rwanda.org. That's the information you get on how to partner with us on the university and we are forming. And another one is you can get it at masterseedproject.org. For those who want to relate to the children at Sunrise. So those are the two areas, and my email is bpjohnr@rwanda1figure1.com. Another one is bpjohnk@yahoo.com. So those are the two contacts you can come up to to me and reach me.
We also want to remind our friends that the book that you've written back in 2007 is called The Bishop of Rwanda, Finding Forgiveness Amidst a Pile of Bones, and is available on Amazon.com. Bishop John Ruchihana, God bless you, my dear brother in Christ. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us on these last two programs with our Bot Radio Network friends.
God bless you. It's been a joy to be hosted by your love, and pray that the Lord will get us together some other time. God bless you.
I hope so, my friend. Well, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. We want to thank you for listening. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Mid-South Viewpoint. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email us. Our address is wcrv@botradionetwork.com. This has been Mid-South Viewpoint, another Christian news and information feature from Bot Radio Network 640 AM.